They be broke down, all right. Amen. Yes, just really thanking God for 22 years of teaching, learning, and doing. And we've been able to reach out and touch a lot of people. And amen, we lost Blog Talk Radio. We had access to 130,000 people, but we done picked up on YouTube, and that's the new place to grow. And I'm trying to steer all those people over in Europe and in Germany and everywhere else to that page now. Because wherever they have the internet, they can get it. Yes, yes, well, yeah. Yeah, monetize in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. And that seems to be the goal of everybody who get on YouTube, get 1,000 subscribers, 4,000 views, then you get monetized. Amen. I'm already monetized because Jesus is my Lord and Savior, so I really want to get on there to get 4 million subscribers and 50 million views. That's because that many people have heard the word of God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you for allowing us to come out to this house again. And Lord, we are celebrating 22 years of what you have done through all of us here. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor, because we abide in you. And that makes us able to do the things that we do, because you said if unless we abide in you, we can't do nothing. So everything that we've been able to do, even though we're a small church, is because we abide in you. You overturned all of Rome. The complaint was made that all of Rome had been turned upside down by 12 apostles. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you can do through a small number of people, through 12 people. Jesus, you said in John chapter 17 that you weren't just praying for them, but for all of them who were going to believe on you according to their word. And we are those people. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, what you did with just a few people. And so that encourages us that even though our numbers aren't large, aren't huge, we're not mega, but we have a mega God and a mega Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit gives us mega power so that we can operate in this world on your behalf. So I thank you, Jesus, for all of these who have you have called alongside my wife and myself to do what you want to do at Running for Christ Ministries. Yes. I ask you, Lord, that you continually, I thank you that if they get sick, you heal them. I thank you that you have kept others from even getting sick. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, from the time we began until now, we haven't had a million home goings. But you have blessed my wife and myself to have these, your sons and daughters, to come alongside us to do what you want done. So we thank you for that, and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Rebecca gave you what I sent her was the theme. I was supposed to be sending her my subject as well. Amen. But we're going to talk about the birth of the church since we're celebrating 22 years, okay. Amen. So it would seem fitting to talk about the birth of the church since Running for Christ didn't always exist. It was organized in 2003, April 3rd, is when we had our first church service. Now, somebody might say, but wait a minute, weren't you around in January and February? Yes, but I didn't want to be a pastor. So I tried to offer up to Jesus something else. A ministry. Amen. Amen. And we just help people. We give them clothes. We help them with food. Amen. And then there you go. But that's not what he called. He wanted a church, you know. And I thought it was unlikely because he was calling the most unlikely person to do it. I was at the drag strip skipping church. Amen. And that's where he came and first spoke to me about Running for Christ Ministries. And that's a good thing, too, because Pastor Terrence, all I ever did was lose. First round, every race, boom, I'm out. People used to say, you finna go up? I'm like, why you want to know? You know, because you kind of like lose every time, so I want to be the one to go to second round when you lose, amen? But we kept going with it, and eventually I got better at drag racing, a whole lot better, and I started beating people who were a lot faster than me, and because I bracket race. I mean, if this person run 10 and I run 12, I get a 2 second head start and they got to come catch me. And trust me, it works, because at the end of the drag strip, both of y'all are right next to each other looking over, seeing who's going to get off the gas first so you don't break out. You can't go faster. My dial in was always 12 seconds flat in a quarter mile, 1,320 feet. If you go faster than that, you broke out. You can go slower, but you still got to cross before that other person. So drag racing is a funny thing. Once y'all get next to each other, about 1,000 foot, y'all going to be right next to each other, and there's 320 feet to go. And it goes by super quick, because we're talking seconds, right? So you look over at them, they look over at you. You try to guesstimate, am I going faster than my dial in? So you start pumping the gas. Okay, every time you do that, that's a tenth of a second that's dropped. But what if they're not pumping their gas and they cross first? So me, I was crazy. And everybody knew who raced me, Deacon Soretta, we going to the end. Amen. Because I don't care about winning. I done had my four time trials. I've advertised and displayed Christ. Amen. So I don't care if I win the next round, because if I do, I'm going to have to buy more gas. So, and I ain't want to buy no more gas. I'm already spending $100 getting here. Amen. I don't want to buy no gas. But anyway, it was at that time that the Lord said to me, this is what I want you to do. And over 6 months, from June until April, until December 29th, is when I didn't want to leave my old church, First Baptist Church, E-Course, but Jesus kicked me out. First, he took my class. I had a Sunday school class as big as in the church. The teens, really, from 15 up to 18. Some folks in the class was 37. They didn't want to leave. Amen. So that class was taken from me, and I was given a class of young adults. But in First Baptist, they didn't have many young adults. So I ended up sitting over by the elevator, by this door that I don't know what that door was for. Amen. And cold air coming through, and Jesus said, you ready to leave yet? So I got together my letter and sent it to my pastor, to the chairman of the trustee board and chairman of the deacon board, and let them know that Run for Christ Ministries was happening, and I got to go. Amen. It was a big old kerfuffle, because nobody wanted me to believe, and nobody believed God would call somebody who joined the same church six times. Amen. To pastor a church. You don't even know. I told Jesus that. I'm like, how you going to have me pastor a church? I don't even go to church. You know, I'm out here right now. You know, but over a period of 6 months, he convinced me. And then after we got started, then I kerfuffled again, because I really didn't want to be no pastor, because I saw Pastor Barlow. Was Pastor Barlow awesome? But there were people who hated him. Pastor Brown, was he awesome? But there were people who hated him. And then I had Pastor Davis. They hated him. Amen. The other part, just leave that. They hated it right from the beginning. People came to my house in 84 and told me that he had been elected. Because once again, I was out. Amen. And that would be my sixth time going back. But yeah, God saw something in me like Jesus saw something in Peter. God saw something, see something in all of us, like he saw in Peter. Do you think Peter saw himself like Jesus saw him? Do you think Peter, after he chided Jesus and said, don't say you're going to die and get back up again. We all believe the Messiah is going to come and live forever. How is he going to die and get back up again? Well, don't say that. That's when he told Peter, I rebuke you. Amen. You know? And so Peter, then again, Lord, if all of these deny you, I won't. Amen. So wasn't it funny when Jesus got Peter over there in John chapter 3, he said, do you love me more than these? This is after he denied Jesus three times. He dropped that agape claim down to filial. We friends, but I ain't to the, amen, agape situation yet. I'm not to the unconditional love yet. The condition was I could die. Amen. And so he was that meant Peter did not have unconditional love for the Lord. The Hebrew boys had what? Unconditional love. Daniel had what? Unconditional love. Why? Because even on the threat of death, they still did it for the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants today. People who are going to live for him no matter what. I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans this morning, and that's one of the things he talked about when he talked about the section having to do with commitment. Amen. Even on pain of death, God knows. Amen. Can God say, now I know, when you get put in a situation, that you're going to trust him, that you're going to lean on him, you're going to rely on him. Amen. So Running for Christ was finally born on April 2nd, 2003, and we started meeting up at the hall. I said, Jesus, we got all of 2 members, and you want us to rent this big building. Oh, Jesus went to work. Talking about favor? The guy who worked there was named Dewey. Dewey charged us $50 a week for being there. Okay, but then the devil came up. Deaconess Mary, the devil popped up. And he said, no, we're going to have $25,000 a year. That's what we're going to have. That's where. But then when that started, I knew Jesus was going to cut that off. And he did. Deborah shows up. Amen. Her and what was her name that used to be with the little short hair?
Kathy.
Yes, they both showed up at the Bible class. And they were friends with Janice and with Madeline. And so Janice sidled over there and they got to talking and now we're here. Amen. So over the 22 years, and the reason I chose this passage and choose it every year is because that is what the Lord gave me to build Running for Christ on. That is the foundation that Running for Christ is built on. That is why all we do is teaching, learning, and doing. And that's all we're ever going to do. I have begged Jesus to have somebody come here and sing and fill up these pews. He said, yeah, you sound just like it. Amen. Hey, whole face and everything. I'm like, how you up in heaven making a face? Amen. He said, I said, well, Jesus, what about if we get this big giant preacher to come here and they attract millions of people to our church? Again. Amen. He said, I got churches all over the earth filled up with people, but I don't have people all over the earth filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that's what he wants. He wants people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the church, the body of Christ, the birth of the church on earth happened in the book of Acts. All up until that time, Jesus was getting his disciples, who would become the apostles, the church planters, amen, in shape. He wanted them to be ready because he was going to be gone. And at the point that the church was born, he was gone. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he told them, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you, fills you up. You're going to have power to do what you cannot do. When we get to the part where we talk about the power of the church, we're going to see what that means. But when he says you shall receive power, we need power. Why? Because the devil ain't no joke. And look at our world today. Look at our government today. The devil running the White House. You, unless you want me to believe Jesus firing people. Unless you want me to believe that Jesus is tearing up all our institutions that help people. Unless you want me to believe, instead of feeding the 5,000, he gonna starve the 5,000. No, you can easily tell where Satan is, where God is not. Wherever God is, there is what? Peace. Amen. There's no peace in America. Look at yesterday. Look at this past weekend. People were protesting all over the country. So the devil is on the rise. Why? Because he knows, Jeff, his time is coming. His time to finally do what he protested in heaven. He said, I'm going to be like God. And I'm going over here and we're going to set our thing up and God ain't welcome. And he can't stop us. Oh yeah, Satan crazy. He real crazy. Amen. Aaron, he up in heaven telling God what he gonna do and ain't gonna do. The Lord is like, y'all better go talk to your boy. Somebody need to go word him up. Amen. That's like Ali talking about, you know what, Pastor? I'm sick and tired of Mike Tyson. I'm finna call him out in the ring. Amen. I'm gonna call him out in the ring, Mike Tyson, and I'm gonna raise Muhammad Ali back up and beat him up. Eric gonna be talking about I'm your manager. See, he collect the paycheck while Ali over here all puffed up looking like the elephant man. Amen. But we need power. Why? Because Satan is not a joke. Jesus said this about him. He steals, kills, and destroys. That is what he does. He's the father of lies. He's a murderer from the beginning. So I asked Jesus, you say that he's a murderer from the beginning. That means from Genesis. What did he do? He killed all of us. He convinced Adam and Eve that they should stop following God, stop trusting God, stop leaning and relying on God. And listen to what I'm saying. Which stripped them of what? Their power. What was their power? The word of God. They only had one verse. And they could defeat Satan with one verse. In and of themselves, they don't stand a chance. Angels, have you ever read what Satan did to Job? Did you see where Satan said, Father, I'm going down there. God, he won't call him Father. I'm going down there and I'm going to do this, this, and this. I need power to do that. Satan didn't ask for no power. He already had. When God sent one angel down here to protect the children of Israel from the Arameans, what happened? One angel slew 185,000 people. And the Bible says when they woke up in the morning and saw all them dead bodies, they got up out of there. Because they knew God was working on their behalf. The Bible says that Jericho was straight shut up. And they had their big old giant walls fortifying them, protecting them. But Rahab the harlot says, these walls and these gates are set up and shut because the people are terrified of God, the God of Israel. They weren't really afraid of the people, Dickens Kleinberg. That didn't bother them. What bothered them was their God. Because they knew their God took out Egypt, Pharaoh. They knew their God could beat up the Red Sea. They knew that God could put you in the middle of nowhere and sustain you for 40 years. Your clothes don't wear out. You don't get inflammation, meaning that you're sick. And amen. And they had food. They had bread and water for 40 years. And it supplied, it was broccoli. It was cauliflower. It was all the good things that make us healthy was in that manna. Nobody had diabetes. Amen. Nobody had heart conditions. Nobody was mentally ill except some of them who was fighting against God. They was kind of ill. So we need power. So the Lord said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Not before that, but when he comes. Oh, we saw the disciples before the Holy Spirit, right? Did they have power?
No.
Oh, they took off. Was they at the cross when Jesus was being crucified? No. They took off. Was they at the grave Sunday morning trying to see did he rise? Yes. After the women came and told him he got up. The women was walking in power. And what do I mean by that? The word of God. Jesus said, I'm going to get up on the third day, right? The Bible says his disciples didn't get it. But apparently the women did get it. Why? Because they went down there to the tomb. Amen. They went to finish the preparation of his body. But when they got there, they said stuff like this. Who shall roll away the stone for us? They didn't have to worry about it. Because when they got there, it was already rolled away. I love how they did that, Keila. Angel came and rolled it away and then sat on it and said, what? Amen. When God sends angels to help you, they come with all the power they need to help you. Daniel prayed, but the prince of Persia, One of the devil's demons had a stronghold set up over Persia. Amen? And when Gabriel went to deliver the message of yes, he prayed, God said yes, but the devil held him up for 21 days. But then Michael showed up. When Michael the archangel showed up, amen, Wendy Kelly Tracy, when Michael showed up, amen, the demon was like, I wasn't bothering your boy. We was just standing here talking. Why? Because when he knew that Michael came with the power to move him out the way.
Okay.
Do you know you have a guardian angel? And the devil can't move that guardian angel by his own will? Job had, it was described in Job as a hedge around him. The devil said, you got a hedge. You know how he knew that he had a head around, you know how he knew he had a hedge around him? Because he tried to get through it, but he kept knotting his head up. You're like, your boy over there got me all lumped up. But if you take that angel out the way and let me in. But what held Job together? Even though skin worms destroy my flesh, yet in my flesh, I'm going to see God. Even though he slay me, yet shall I trust in him. It wasn't nothing the devil could do to prevent Job or stop Job from trusting, leaning, and relying on God. And Jesus said, when we stand on the rock, amen. And Job ain't have as much word as we have. Job ain't had no whole Bible. Amen. All Job had was what they had passed down to him because he had a Genesis character from Adam all the way to him. But whatever it was, whatever that word was, it was strong enough to defeat the devil. So Jesus says to his disciples, you're going to have power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. And just after he says this, mother, he ascended into the air. Imagine that. You standing there with Jesus. You've seen him do some stuff, but now he's flying. Amen. He's flying. Jesus, just imagine that. You just totally defy gravity and lift up off the planet. Do y'all know that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, it says, we're citizens of heaven. And we look for our Savior to come from there. And by the power that enables him, amen, he's going to give us glorious bodies like his. Do you know we'll be able to defy gravity if we want to? And if I want to and I don't want to go out that door, I can walk right through this wall and not be damaged. If I tried it right now, y'all need another pastor, amen? You have to call Jonathan on up and say, okay, you're up. Amen. But we'll have a glorified body. But right now, we have a Holy Spirit filled body, and our power is the Word of God.
Amen.
When Peter stepped out because the Holy Spirit came, when the fullness of time came, when the promise of the Father came, the one that Jesus told him, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. If Jesus tells you to wait somewhere, you need to wait. If Jesus tells you don't go right now, you need to not go right now. Amen. You don't know what he's doing. I've heard so many stories of people getting up. This broke. My shaver broke. And then I had to go get something else to shave my face. Then I turned the water on. The handle fell off. And then I had to go over here. My shoestring broke. And then I went to get in the car and turn the key. The key broke. So I had to go catch the bus. Got on the bus. And it broke down. But if I had got to work on time, I would have been in the building when it blew up. And now all of that stuff looked like God. Amen. All that stuff bring out praise. That's why we shouldn't get too upset when we fall into what James calls diverse temptations or many temptations or many trials and tribulations. Why? Because God gonna use it to teach us how to persevere, to give us endurance so that we keep going. He's going to make us stronger for it. So look at these problems and situations you have as spiritual muscle builders, building up what Rebecca, Deaconess Rebecca likes to call the inner man. That's the one that needs to be strong. This is what it is. But in here, that's what needs Satan going to, Satan didn't attack Adam and Eve's body. He didn't attack Cain's body. He attacked him here. He's launched an intellectual assault. And their helmet of salvation wasn't on too tight. Amen. Amen. Well, the word of God wasn't working. Amen. So we have power when the Holy Spirit comes on us so we can affect the will of God on earth without Satan trying to destroy us. He's called the prince, the power of the air, the evil one, spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Lord knows all about that. But God has given us what? Armor. He has given us his word. His word becomes the breastplate, the belt, the shoes. And when we need it, his word becomes the helmet. It becomes the dagger or sword. Amen. And it becomes the shield that quenches the fiery darts of the devil. So he has given us everything that we need to be successful Christians. We just have to walk in it. Come on. And so when Peter came out and the other 120, the men and women that were in that room, and they were all prophesying, every one of them was, because somebody said, how is it? Aren't these men, aren't these people all Galileans? Then how is it that we hear the wonderful word of God in our own language? They stepped out doing miracles. The power is already working. And here's a miracle a whole lot of folks missed. When the 120 were speaking, everybody was hearing the word of God in their own language. Yep. But then when Peter started talking, everybody is still hearing the word of God in their own language. And Peter's one person. But God, imagine this. Each one of y'all come from a different country. Each one of y'all speak a different language. But when I talk, every one of y'all hear me. Amen. God took and translated what came out of Peter's mouth into the language of the person that was standing there. One person. And if you read the list over there in Acts chapter 2, Parthians, Medes, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Elamites, and people from everywhere, Phrygia, Pamphylia, were all hearing the wonderful word of God in their own language. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now watch this though. When you read that sermon that Peter preached, it tells you something about Peter. He knew the word. Amen. He might have been a fisherman, an ignorant fisherman. That's what they said. They took note of them that they were what? Ignorant fishermen. But this ignorant fisherman knew the word of God. Okay. Amen. All right. If you read the sermon that Peter preached, you will see the word come out again and again and again and again. That's where I got that from. Every time they said something in the Bible, they backed it up with the word of God. So I picked up that habit. And I learned something. That's the power. The power is in God's word. So when I say something and back it up with the word, your comment really don't mean anything. You should just forward that to Jesus. Amen. Because it ain't what I said. I saw a preacher make, you know how they got them headings in the Bible? Yeah. Amen. For the passage. I saw a preacher preach one of them. The heading. And it went completely crazy. It went all the way off the tracks. Amen. You're not supposed to do that. You preach the word of God. Not the heading about the word of God, not the subject, amen, but the word itself. Peter came out and he preached. 3,000 people heard the word. It was in them. So he had to be passionate, and we should be passionate about God. And we should be as knowledgeable of the word as Peter was. Why? Because that's the power. Jesus said what? Jesus said, in the beginning was the word. And the word was God. Amen. So when we preach the word, we're preaching who? God. And so when Peter preached that word, then the Holy Spirit does what is talked about over in John chapter 16. One of his jobs is to convince the world of sin. Amen. To convince the world or convict the world of sin and about what they believe about Jesus. And so when Peter preached that word, the Holy Spirit went out into the audience. Mm-hmm. Amen. And the person, he started, mother. Jesus said, that's your sister, but call her Mother Petty. Amen. When Peter preached that word, the Holy Spirit got into that crowd and said, you know he's telling the truth. You need to do something. You know he's telling the truth, Mother Overall. You need to do something. And what did they say? They said, we have heard the wonderful word of God, and we are convicted in our hearts. Brethren, what must we do? And then Peter told them, believe in Jesus. Amen. And you'll be saved. You and your household. Those who are near and those who are far off. It's as simple as that. Believe in Jesus. Amen. That's what starts the new birth in us. It is not Bible class. It is not Sunday school. It is not giving offerings or tithes or any of that. It is simple faith in Jesus Christ. That's what gets us into the body. So many folks misunderstand this. Those folks, when they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are, the anointing that you hear people talking about is the Holy Spirit, the power of God. And you only need that anointing once when you get saved. Another thing that people talk about is baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. No, what that's talking about is the Holy Spirit baptized you. He placed you, granted you into the body of Christ.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
But you hear people using these terms all the time like it happens over and over. The only thing that happens over and over is the filling of the Holy Spirit. We know that in the birth of the church, amen, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, meaning 50 days after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, they were all what? Filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in known tongues. And that was for a reason, to get the attention of those who were there. And it did. It worked. Amen. So when the Holy Spirit came and said they were filled, then we jump over to chapter 4 and we go down to the bottom of chapter 4 where it talks about, hey, they had been threatened. They had been called to account and told, don't preach no more. You done, we told you not to do this. You done filled Jerusalem up with this word. Then we tell you not to do that. And Peter, that's where Peter says, we can't help but to speak about what we have both seen and heard. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so they threatened them. And they let them go. And guess what they did? Did they run home and cower up in that upper room again? They went to John Mark's house, Mary Mama's house. John's mother, Mary's house. Amen, his mother. And guess what they did? They all got together. Amen. And guess what they did? They prayed to God. They said, Lord, why does the heathen rage? They started quoting scriptures back to God. So when you pray to God, amen, if you want to hear, you want to catch his ear right away, preach, pray his word back to him. Don't try to think up something to give God an idea. Amen. Pray God's word back to him. He has already spoken on every single thing we could possibly get into. Amen. So they prayed God's word back to him. And then they asked God this. They didn't ask him to kill the Sanhedrin or wipe them out, put them to death. They didn't ask them to him to especially protect them from anything or release them from having to preach this gospel, which is getting them in a lot of trouble. You know what they asked the Lord? They said, give us more boldness.
Yep.
The boldness we had when we told them Jesus is the only way to be saved, give us more boldness. And guess what the Bible says? The Bible says that that room where they were was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But you just told me they got filled over in Acts chapter 2. Well, the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So the only thing that we need to keep repeating is being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means less of me, more of him. Amen. Job needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse chapter 3 verse 25, it says, the thing I feared the most has happened to me. So Job had some fear in him. God wanted it out. So the devil said, if you let me at him, I'll make him cuss you out. But he didn't cuss him out. But the fear that Job had when he got to the end of the story, he didn't have that fear anymore because his worst nightmare happened to him and he survived it. He thrived through it. Oh yeah, he was tore up from the floor up and down on the ground. But he thrived through it. Even at his weakest, Satan couldn't defeat him. Amen. At his weakest, he could not be defeated. 3,000 people. Amen. Holy Ghost filled sermon came out. 3,000 people responded to that sermon. They all got saved. They all got baptized, making a public announcement to everybody. I'm on team with Jesus now. I'm on team Jesus. That's what baptism is. It lets your family, friends, and the world know. I'm with team Jesus now. I'm rolling with it. Does it mean I'm perfect? No. Amen. It means all my sins been washed away. It means if I got a problem, Jesus is going to solve it. If I'm not walking right, Jesus is going to teach me how. And he's going to be patient with me until I get it. Amen. Now watch this. It says that they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in the apostles' doctrine or teaching. Remember what Jesus told the apostles in Matthew 28? After you get them baptized, do what? Teach them what I taught you. And what are they doing? Now the apostles is no longer preaching, they teaching. They preach and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit by their authority. And now they're teaching them so they can become mature. Why? Because your confession of salvation won't scare the devil. But when you speak the word of God, amen, that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to the end, tells us that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us now. Yeah. He's revealing to us what God said. And so what they did was they continued in the apostles' doctrine, meaning they went to Sunday school, they went to Bible class, they did home Bible study. It's impossible to grow without food.
Right.
You just starve to death. You know how many starving Christians running around here? Hungrier than hungry. Amen. Got plenty of food right in the hand called the Bible. Amen. You can even eat off your phone now. You can just click Bible Gateway and eat off your phone. Or if you don't want to read, push play and it'll talk to you if you're using the NIV version. That's what I do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because I get to reading, Jeff, I go to sleep. And then when I wake up, he'd be talking about, wherever you remember where you left off, just pick up there again. I'm like, geez, you might tell me stop going to sleep because it takes me all day to read a verse. Amen. Praise God. So continue in the apostles' doctrine. Do Bible study. Do Sunday school. Do home Bible study. Feed yourself. Add to your faith, like Peter says in 2 Peter in 1. Add to your faith. The Bible says God has given us everything we need to live for him. Access everything we need to live for him. Don't just hear God say, I got it all for you. Go get it. And then they said they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in the breaking of bread. They continued in fellowship. And they continued in prayer. Prayer is how you bring the power of God from heaven to earth. When you say, our Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, notice your will, your word be worked out on earth just like it is in heaven. Amen. The Bible says the apostles continued to preach about Jesus and people all around were seeing miracles happen. Why? Because God was using them to draw them in. But it's only the word of God that will save you. Amen. They were continuing to fellowship one another, breaking bread from house to house. This is the beginning of the birth of house churches. In the beginning, there were house churches, and most of these churches were run by women. Yeah, preachers don't like to talk about that, and they don't like to talk about Deborah. Because if you talk about the first 300 years of the church from AD 30 to 325 until Rome took over, women was running things.
Come on now.
Amen. If you read carefully about Jesus and doing his public ministry, women were financing him. Amen. And so they were showing a fraternity. They were a fraternity. They were all in it together. They all held everything they had in common. And nobody said that what they had was their own, but they shared with everybody who was in need. Amen. And the Lord was adding to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. And so God wants that work to continue. Not the work that a whole lot of churches are doing today, just hyping people up and making them feel good. No, he want them taught the word, whether they like it or not. Because see, that's the only thing God knows. Ain't nothing going to change us but his word.
Amen.
Amen. You can make me feel good, but I can go listen to some jazz and feel good.
Right.
Amen. I do that a lot. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love jazz. Lord knows, my wife and I listen to 5 hours of jazz going to Mackinac, what we used to. Now we just talk. Amen. But I love me some music. Amen. But God wants us to be that early church, that display of his power. He wants us to display his power displayed in our personal life. If your personal life with God is raggedy, then guess what? Your family life raggedy, your church life raggedy, and your civic life probably raggedy. Amen. If Jesus, if it's true like Jesus said, we're the light of the world, then I can see that light and I know it's on. When people see you, do they know you on? Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. It is because of you that we've lasted 22 years. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for teaching, learning, and doing. Because I know that if you fill these folks up with your word, you have powerful plans for them. You got a lot of work. You got a lot of folks you're going to send them to lead to Christ. Folks you're going to send them to teach about Christ. Folks you're going to send them to help, whether they're in or outside the body of Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we remain filled with the Holy Spirit. And whatever is in us that needs to be out, let us know it's in there. And then we trust, lean, and rely on you, Jesus, to complete the work that you've begun on us. And we thank you, Father, for what you've done over these 22 years, for what you're doing right now, and for what you plan to do into the future for Running for Christ. And Father, when I say Running for Christ, it is all these people. You know, Lord, how I cried in fear. Because I didn't know how to do a whole lot of things. I didn't know a whole lot of things. But you promised me that you would send people to come alongside me to help. They could do the things I can't do. They know the things I don't know. And you would make this work. And Lord, as I stand here today, my wife and I were only the first two members. And Father, as I stand here today and look at these people that you did bring to our side and the positions you placed them in, and they started ministries and everything else, I thank you for that. I thank you for them. And I ask that you continually bless them because I need them to be with me to do this work that you have called us all into to do for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, y'all know why I need you? I need a torque.